This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Broadcasting live from Schnucks off Jungerman Road. Come on by and say hello. Customer Appreciation Day, April 6th. Games, giveaways. They have food and liquor tastings. We'd like to do a little bit of the tastings here today, Martin, would we?
We're open for business.
Yes.
Is that how we put it? We're open for business. Willing to sample.
Pork steaks on sale this week, hand cut in store, and more brats. Boy, those brats were so good, weren't they?
The homemade brats, the chicken wings at Schnucks. How often are you going to make wings at home? We've talked about this. You go up there, they're pre-made. In fact, Frank, why don't you go get a plate and let's do a little sampling here.
Dr. Rick, if we consider this a cheat day, it's okay to have some wings, correct?
Wings are never really that bad. I think wings are fine. High protein, a little bit of fat. Wings are cool.
Is it a good fat?
You know what? Everybody wants to badmouth wings. I think wings are healthy. I don't think that's a bad food. And it's not a bad fat at all. The worst part is the fried part. But, again, you know, if you're going to do something bad, eat wings, rock and roll. That's all right.
If you do like a dry rub, you're eating chicken. That's healthy.
That's right.
No doubt.
Right.
No doubt. High protein, not a lot of carbs. I mean, you know, you're all right.
A couple pitchers of beer, watching the NCAA tournament.
Nachos. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes. Uh-oh. The diet has shifted. The storyline has shifted dramatically with Dr. Rick, who, by the way, last week we did tweet at you. On Saturday, the Billikens did advance to that Atlantic 10
yes.
title game. You sort of went radio silent there. We were ready to fire up the Dr. Rick jet.
We need to go.
San Jose?
We need to go.
Now, let's do this. Frank's going to be out of town. I think Dr. Rick and Fox 2 will head to San Jose. I like this plan.
All right, well, let's make it for the Sweet 16. I'll be back for that. All right?
There you go.
You have access to a private plane, I'm sure.
I actually do. I mean, you know, I got to tell you that this is pretty exciting. I'm pretty pumped about this. St. Louis needs a little something like this. The Blues and this, you know, we need a little uplifting.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to a couple of topics. Social media actually hurts the mental health of the United States teenagers.
You know, it's interesting because. This was a very, very scientific study. Some of the studies are like, you know, how about this? But this, they looked at 400,000 kids, and they looked at changes in mental disease in kids below 26, and then looked at millennials. So this was a very, very highly scientific study. And there's no and one of the things is the incidence of mental disorder has gone through the roof. So it's gone way, way up. And their conclusion was it has to do with social media. So you don't know if it's 100% social media or kids today or just have much higher mental disease than they had, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But I think the take-home message for the listeners is if your kids are struggling a little bit, you need to talk to them. You may need to have someone, you know, talk to a psychologist and really try to get everything out in the open and just don't say, hey, you know, it's social media. Get off your social media. But I think social media – is creating a change in the way people interact. You know, I think you have kids instead of talking to each other or texting each other, everybody's on Instagram, everybody's on Snapchat. And I think the interpersonal relationship, you know, when you talk about your day, how you're feeling, et cetera, no one gets to work through that anymore. And I think that's really hurting these young kids.
Now, are we talking about mental development like their acumen? Or are we talking about mental issues, depression, and that sort of thing?
I think it's mostly the latter. I think it's mostly, sociopathic activities, depression, you know, and a lot of the kids that are depressed just kind of suck it up and live with it. You know, a few of them do crazy things and shoot everybody in the school. But most of it is just they're it's a lonely world when all your life is social media and you're watching Kim Kardashian, who's having a great time on social media and doing all these things. But that's not reality. The stuff that people are putting on social media isn't really the way we live life. And so they see all their friends having these great times at parties. Well, that's just one shot in time. That's, you know, that's just one picture. That's not really how things are. and everybody thinks they should be like that. Well, life's not like that. And so I think what happens is it makes these kids depressed instead of saying, talking to the friends and saying, well, you know, I was at the party and it really wasn't that great. No one talked to me at the party and I went home and I felt terrible, which is a lot of times what happens. You know, the kid says, well, I see everybody else is having a good time and I didn't have a good time. Well, a lot of people didn't have a good time. So I think that's the problem.
Don't you think the worst thing in the world for all athletic figures, whether it's coaches, broadcasters, or executives, to be on social media in terms of like message boards and the negativity? I mean, there's nothing good that can come from that for these guys.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you'll see somebody say something in the media, and then, you know, the media will then report, you know, a politician, an athlete, and then people will report all the negative responses on Twitter, on you know, some of these message boards, these blogs. But what it doesn't tell you is that the other 100,000 people or 5 million people thought it was fine. So somebody will say something, and everybody will, you know, they'll rip them on social media, and there might be 10 or 15 terrible tweets, let's say. But everybody else thinks it's fine. But what you're looking at is the ones that people took the time to say, you know, hey, you're an idiot, your comment was wrong, you had a bad game, et cetera. And so I just think it's misplaced. So that's the first thing, and I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, I think that if you're an owner or you're like you guys, a celebrity personality, and it's such an easy target to take a shot at you, you know, all you got to do is type it out, where no one's going to say it face-to-face. And I just think that whole construct has changed society and the way we interact, and I think it's terrible.
Dr. Rick Lehman, the founder, the medical director, a celebrity in his own right, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, also from the headlines. And this is what is great about this segment is Dr. Rick does the reading and sees things that are relevant for you, the listener, with kids out there. A lot of our listeners have younger kids. There's a report or studies that now say if you're going to do swimming lessons, you should start at 1 year old. That sounds early to me. What's the basis?
Well, so the article is a good article, and it basically starts with this is the amount of number of kids that are going to drown coming up in the summer, and it's a fairly large number, and this is how you stop having these terrible incidents. You know, these are heavy topics today. I mean, so how do you stop your kid from drowning? Well, number one, you never leave them alone. You don't let them have access to water, and water could be a bucket. It could be an inch in a bathtub. I just read a story where a lady went and did some wash some clothes and their kid drowned in 2 inches of water in a bathtub. But the key is probably to teach your child to swim. Now, we probably mostly start swim lessons at 5 or 6 years old, but actually if you start your child getting used to the water at one and they can swim by 1.5 or 2, your chances of having a drowning death or a problem in the water are, you know, basically go to zero. So what they're saying is kids are more than able to learn to swim starting at about 12 months, and that's when you should start them. And then what we should do is let them have swim lessons, and they don't need to, you know, take your child in the water, give them some floaties, let them get used to the water, and then let them learn to swim. And by 2 years old, they're swimming, and your chances of having a drowning episode, you know, basically go away. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But don't leave your kids alone at the swimming pool. I mean, that's just logical.
Is there something true about the younger kids are, whether it's skiing or skating, that they just adapt easier when they're young? That they always say that, get your kids on skis, get them on skates, do all of that before they get too old.
Absolutely. I mean, did you ever try to see, you know, try to get an adult to learn to swim? I mean, that's a tough ride. So I think the earlier you are starting your kids, for sure skating and skiing, you know, swinging a baseball bat. Look at Tiger Woods' dad, Earl Woods, swinging a golf club. So I think the younger your muscle memory can learn these activities, the better. So, no, I'm 100% believer. Get the kids used to these activities young. A, they're fearless. B, they learn so much quicker, and they don't get bad habits.
A couple of texts for Dr. Rick Lehman. God bless Dr. Rick. Now I have proof to tell my wife that indulging in chicken wings is okay. Protein, baby, protein. Ask Dr. Rick. All right. Dr. Rick, last week I came down with the flu. I went to the urgent care, and one of the first things they did was put me on an IV drip. That thing made me feel like $1 million. Is there any way I can get this done at home when I feel like I need a little pick-me-up?
So I don't know if there are in St. Louis, but in California, because we do this at UCLA a lot, you know, where we bring the kids in and we give them an IV, we give them a liter of fluid. And it is amazing how much better you feel with a liter of fluid if you get an IV. So the answer is there may be, and in a lot of cities they have these services. They come to your house. I think it's $50. They put you in an IV, and truly it turns you around. So I would imagine that in St. Louis that service is out there, and it's probably called Home Health, and you probably Google it, and they come to your house and give you an IV. Certainly they would do it with a doctor's order, so if somebody wants, they can call our office, and we're happy to fax an order for you to get an IV. But if you have the flu or, you know, a bad hangover or anything like that, a liter of fluid will change your life.
I think I know about 10 people right now who have a dried-out throat, a little bit of a cough, and I can't tell. I was talking to Glenn Zimmerman the other night. He said the air is remarkably dry right now, but I'm wondering, is it an allergy? Is it a cold? It's that time of year where I think it's really impossible to figure out allergy versus cold. How do you know for sure?
I don't think you know. I mean, I agree with you. I think that all of a sudden the weather changes and, you know, people start getting sick. And is it just that the pollen's up or you're getting some kind of virus, and or is there a combination? So I agree with you. I think as soon as that starts, you know, basically you bump up your zinc, you bump up your vitamin C, you start to hydrate with some Gatorade. And if you have a virus, it's going to get better. And if you have allergies, it's not going to get any better.
Last question. Ask Dr. Rick about Adderall and psychosis.
Very good topic. So most people that take Adderall take small doses of Adderall, and the incidence of psychosis is about 1 to 1.5%, not much. As you increase your doses or you get off of high doses, so you're on Vyvanse or on these bigger meds, not just plain Adderall, your incidence of psychosis goes up to about 6%. And when you get off of it, your incidence goes up another 2 or 3%. So coming off of those medicines, you get a little bit depressed, and then you have your incidence of psychosis goes up. So unless you absolutely need to take some kind of stimulant, Adderall, Vyvanse, one of these meds, you probably should not be on them if you have a family predisposition for mental disease. If you don't, you probably don't have any problems.
Okay, I have one last one. I have taken 2 oxycodones in the last 6 months, and each time Monique has remarked about how sweet and loving and affectionate and how really like wonderful I am to her. How could that drug have anything to do with me saying nothing but sweet and loving things?
Well, first of all, oxycodone, you know, it gives you a high. I mean, people take it for that reason. And occasional oxycodone, there's nothing wrong with. Taking 40 a day is probably not good. But taking, you know, one every couple of days isn't going to hurt you. You're not going to get addicted. But it definitely is the reason people want to take it. And that gives you that sense of euphoria. So Monique is probably out there buying them now. And you should take them once in a while.
But what does it trigger in the brain? So the euphoria leads, I guess, to compliments as well? And maybe we should dig deeper into the marriage here. Where are those compliments on any given day?
Well, that's a different issue than you want to ask Monique about that. But I think that for sure, you know, opioids give you euphoria, which, look, if people just took them and their pain went away and they didn't get any euphoria, we wouldn't have an abuse problem. So obviously, people are taking them for the ancillary benefit, and that's what you get. You get euphoric when you take them, especially if you're going to take once in a while.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I even wrote a text to my producer at TV, Andy Moeller, saying, "It's just such a pleasure to work with you."
Did you really?
I swear to God.
Oh my God, what a weirdo! I can't wait for the Frank monologue. The Blues have been eliminated 4 straight in the playoffs. Like, who cares, folks? This is a dynamic franchise with wonderful people running it. And the Cardinals have missed out on the playoffs
again.
Did you
get a text from High Frank?
Yeah, I don't believe.
I didn't get a text from High Frank.
Yeah, we didn't get any, like, it's a pleasure to work with you.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. I don't even know who this guy is anymore. Monique, instead of, like, pouring cereal for Frank's, like, honey, here's your oxycodone for breakfast.
All right, Dr. Rick, good stuff. We'll talk next week, sir.
Take care.
All right. That's how it started with Brett Favre, I think. A little Vicodin, and all of a sudden he was like texting Chimura and Frank Winters. And I love you guys.
All right, we got to take a break. Before we go to break, Bomberito wants to remind everybody they're in your neighborhood. They have 20 locations, 16 service centers. Their number one choice for your automotive needs. They offer that exclusive 10-year, 200,000-mile nationwide warranty. The best back cars in America are from Bomberito. Family owned and operated for 47 years. Frank started it. John runs it now. The Bomberito Automotive Group. We'll be right back.